I'm going to tell you a little funny. Is that okay? It was already late fall, and the Indians on a remote reservation in South Dakota asked their new chief if the coming winter was going to be cold or mild. And since he was a chief in modern society, he had never been taught the old secrets. And when he looked at the sky, he couldn't tell what the winter was going to be like. Nevertheless, to be on the safe side, he told his tribe the winter indeed was going to be cold, and so the members of the village should go out and collect firewood to be prepared. But being a practical leader, after several days, he got an idea. He went to the phone booth, called the National Weather Service, and he asked, "Is the coming winter going to be cold?" And the weather service man, meteorologist, said, it looks like this winter is going to be quite cold." So the chief went back to his people and told them to collect even more firewood in order to be prepared. A week later, he called the National Weather Service again. "Does it still look like it's going to be a very cold winter?" And yes, the man at the National Weather Service again replied, "It's going to be a very cold winter." The chief again went back to his people and ordered them to collect every scrap of firewood they could find. 2 weeks later, the chief called the National Weather Service again. "Are you absolutely sure that the winter is going to be very cold?" "Absolutely," the man replied. "It's looking more and more like it's going to be one of the coldest winters we've ever seen." "How can you be so sure?" the chief asked. The weatherman replied, "Because the Indians are collecting firewood like crazy." I don't even have a comment on that. I don't even know what you can learn from that one except to laugh. Praise God. All right. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And we'll read beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand," verse 5, "no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong," everybody say be strong, "be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." When my wife and I moved from Decatur, Texas, to Woodland Park, we moved in 3 days. In fact, I preached here on a Sunday night, and we stayed up all night, literally getting everything packed, and we left the next day. The third day, we moved in our new home in Woodland Park. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, it's one thing, though, what I discovered. How many of you know moving is the pits? Totally the worst. I mean, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. And we moved in 3 days. But organizing our house where it became livable, usable, and presentable took several weeks. actually probably several months. Actually, our storage, I still wouldn't want to show you. Except we have a big storage place in our basement. And moving into a place is one thing. Possessing it is altogether another. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We just moved in our new facility in Karis Bible College in Woodland Park, 5 minutes from my house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But, you know, we just moved in. But, I mean, it's in January 6th, we're going to have a big day where the students come, just like the students here are coming January 6th. But I'm telling you, we're not ready yet. And on January 6th, we're still going to have things to do. And it takes a while not only to, you know, get in a place, but then possess it where you know how things work, where you know where things are, where you can live in it. Amen? How many of you ladies would understand what I'm talking about? I want to talk to you today and also tonight about possessing your promised land. Possessing your promised land. How many of you have a promised land that God has? How many of you have a promise that that God has for you and that you've yet to fulfill or possess? God's got promises for us. And Joshua is both a book of God's faithfulness to His promises, but it's also a book of principles of how we're to take the Word of God and live in our promised land. This book was written for us so that we could learn how to possess what God promised to us. And these things were written for our examples. It wasn't just for the children of Israel. 1 Corinthians 10 said the things in the Old Testament were written for our examples. And so the entire book of Joshua is about possessing promised land. The children of Israel had walked around in the wilderness. They could have possessed it 40 years before, but 10 of the spies and the majority of the people were in unbelief. And so they walked around there in the wilderness for 40 years. And now it was time for them to possess. And I'm telling you, Calvary Cathedral International, now is the time for you to possess your promised land. Now is the time for you to go in. And you may have been wandering around in the wilderness and you've had a promise that was given years ago, but it's time to possess what God promised. And I don't care how young you are, how old you are, how long you've been in the way. That's a problem. Get out of the way. Amen? And let God do it. God yet will fulfill His Word in your life. God yet will bring those promises to pass in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, I know He's talking to you. Hallelujah. Israel was a people who had moved out of slavery into a place of dominion. It's one thing to be a sojourner, just walking around the wilderness. It's another thing to be a soldier, to possess and guard and keep what God gave you. God doesn't want us to just depend on miracles of gathering manna every day. He wants us to go into a land and plant and bring a harvest and bear fruit and live in it. And God's got a land for us. God's got healing land for us. God's got prosperity land for us. He's got relationship reconciliation land for us to yet possess. And too many times, in fact, 2.5 of the tribes settled on the other side of Jordan. Too many times we settle for less than God's best. And I'm not settling for less than God's best. How about you? How many of you are not going to be any tears when we get to heaven? Okay, you know, some of you already know. You know, that's a trick question. The Bible says Jesus is going to wipe away our tears, all tears. Why would He have to do that? Because, well, it could be tears of joy, but I don't think he's going to be wiping away tears of joy. I think he'll wipe away tears over what could have been and what should have been and what we could have possessed that he promised to us if you would have heard and listened to this message. No, if you would have just read the book. God's got more on the menu. And we too many times we settle far short or stop short of what God has for us. Man, if I've got breath and I've got life, then I've got more promise to possess. Hallelujah. Amen. Joshua's assignment and my assignment, Pastor Bob's assignment, and actually each one of you, your assignment is to divide for people, first of all for yourself, but then for others, the land, the promised land that God has given to them. Helping people to see when you go out and witness and share the gospel with people, you're letting them know what belongs to them. Jesus paid the price. They can have new birth. They can have new life. They can have prosperity. They can have healing. They can have freedom. They can have deliverance. I mean, we're sharing with them the good news of the promise that God has for them. Yes? And you and I, as ministers of the gospel, that's what we're doing. We're helping divide the land for people and helping them inherit what God already provided for them, what He already promised them. Yes? Every tribe and every family had specific boundaries they were to possess. In fact, if you know, you could read Joshua chapter 1 through 11 is the action of actually going in and taking land. Joshua 12 through 21 is some of the most boring territory in the Bible because it's talking about the allocation of that land and how it was divided up and how God promised to this one and this one and this family and that family, you know. But it's not boring to God because everyone's inheritance is significant. And your inheritance, your promised land is significant, not only for you, but for those that if you possess it, those that you will reach. Yeah? Hallelujah. And see, here's the thing we have to understand. When God puts something in our heart and promises us something, it could be a dream, it could be a ministry, it could be a career, it could be some vision or a relationship or whatever it is, He puts a desire in your heart. Listen, it's not just the possessing of that for you, it's about the people that you're going to reach along the way. Yes? And so when you say yes to the Lord, see, He's not only thinking about you, He's thinking about all the people you're going to touch with that resource, with that position, with that new place, with that platform of ministry or career or whatever. See, whatever He put in your heart, it doesn't just end with you. Are you hearing me? See, He has in mind people that are on that land that need the kingdom influence and the love and the life of Jesus that's in you to touch them with. Amen? And so He's thinking about that. He's thinking about, He's got other people in mind. He's got other situations that you don't even know. And all we have to do is say yes. Everybody say yes. Yes, Lord. Caleb at 85, you know, 40 years earlier, Caleb could have gone in and possessed the same land, but the people kept him out there for 40 years. Him and Joshua, 40 years. But I'm telling you, 40 years later, he was still ready to, he said, give me my mountain. Yeah? Give me my mountain at 85. Give me my mountain. So don't give me this garbage about, you know, well, I'm too old, or, you know, I'm over the hill or whatever. I remember my daughter told me, I just remembered this. She told me, what was it when I turned 40 or 50? When I turned 40, and now I'm 49, so plus. And when I turned 40, she was trying to, my staff got me, they are different people, brought me in these black balloons, you know, and all this stuff, you know. And man, I was just a kid. Anyway, but my daughter was trying to make me feel better. She said, Daddy, she said, you're not over the hill. She said, you're on top of the hill, but you're not over the hill. If I was on top of the hill at 40, where am I now? Amen. But but don't give me this garbage about, you know, you can't possess something when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80. Caleb possessed his mountain when he was 85. And there were other people that were responsible for putting off him fulfilling what God had for him for 40 years, and he still kept an excellent spirit and went and accomplished what God called him to accomplish. Amen? So listen, guys, it's never too late. Do you have breath? Do you have life? I'm not retiring. I don't know about you. I may refire a few times, but I'm not retiring. Amen? Every person here, every person within the sound of my voice, everyone has a God-given assignment, has land to possess. You've got promised land, a promise. You've got assigned allotment of relationships, of finances, of health, whatever it is that you need to do what God called you to do. A family, a career, a ministry, or whatever. Amen? You've got to possess that. I said, you've got to possess that. Praise God. Now, I've spoken over you before, David, but I'm just telling you what I see. All I can do is be faithful. There is a family for you to possess. God's got a family for you. And I'm not talking about your parents. I'm talking about your family. There's a family God has for you. And it's big time in God's mind about you having a legacy to pass on. And so I see, I would take a wife then, wouldn't it? Okay, a wife, and then but I see children. Amen. Children. Not child, children. And I see that your children are going to possess the gates of their enemy. Praise God. And your dream and vision is too big for you to fulfill in your lifetime. Your children are going to help to fulfill that dream and that vision. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just sharing with you what I see. So, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So I just pray over you, discovering wife anointing. Thank you, Jesus. It's no decision, just discovery. Praise God. You don't have to decide anything. You just discover. Amen? Praise God. If you need any help interviewing, let me know. I'm teasing. I don't want to know. All right. Everyone has promised land. True? And then you've been given gifts and grace and specific area, measure of rule, which God has given you to advance the kingdom. And we must, everybody say we must. We must possess our inheritance because eternity for others is at stake. If you don't look, guys, look. Everybody look up here at me just a second, okay? You cannot just follow money. Because money doesn't follow you to heaven. Okay? When you obey God, money will be attracted to you, okay? But I'm talking about only because people are attracted to you, all right? But the bottom line is, guys, we've got to follow, be faithful to follow what God put in our heart and whatever He told us to do and what our job is to do. And that's why I want you to be, for sure, be here tonight, but also on Tuesday night because I'm going to share with you how you can identify what your allocation of, of land. Everyone's got their own inheritance to possess. And you need to know how to identify that. Okay? And yeah, it'll be a new thing for some of you, but it's not new to God, and it's not, the promise is not new for most of you. But we've got, it may be new that you possess it. And this is a year of possession. And we've got to possess what God called us to possess. We've got to go in and take our promised land. Amen? Now look at 2 Corinthians. We're going to turn right back to Joshua, so keep a finger there in your Bible. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is a companion scripture, and it just amplifies just what I said just a moment ago. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now let's stop there just a second. You cannot fulfill your promised land in the land, in the mindset of comparison. Because what God called me to do is not what He called you to do. What God called you to do, I can't do. I don't have grace for that. And so we've got to, look, I can learn from other people, I can glean from other people, but I don't need to be someone else. I need to be the best me that God called me to do. And once I come into agreement with where I am and who I am, and that God didn't make a mistake with me, then I can start celebrating who I am, and I can fulfill what God called me to do. And I've taught here several months ago about the sin of comparison and or the comparison trap, and that would be good for you to go back and maybe get that message. But then go look at verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us. A sphere especially includes you. So do you see what God's after? He's saying, listen, I've appointed you a specific measure or of promised land, and that measure of promised land includes you Corinthians. See, wherever God appointed for you, there is a people there He's also appointed for you to reach. Yes? And so there are people in the school He's called you to. There are people on the job that He's called you to. There are people in the ministry that He's called you to. That is your platform that He intends to use your gifts and your love and your grace to reach them and touch them with the gospel. Yes? And they need you to go there. They need you to be there. And we must fulfill what God called us to do. Paul knew his appointed sphere, his promised land to possess. The sphere which God has appointed to you is the same concept that we see in the book of Joshua about Joshua dividing for them their inheritance. Each one has an inheritance, yes? Paul knew what his sphere was. He knew what his inheritance was. You know, if Paul could know it, if Joshua could know it, then you and I can know it. Yes? You and I can know what God's called us to do. So I want to go back to Joshua now. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, and then I'll finish this part of my assignment tonight. Okay, I want to talk to you about the key principles or the key elements that we see in the book of Joshua from the book of Joshua about possessing our promised land. And I'm not going to be able to unpack it all, but I'm just going to begin to share with you what I see in the book of Joshua about how to possess my promised land. Because guys, I don't want to get to heaven and the Lord have to wipe away tears. When I go to heaven, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well, Yeah? I gave you a land to possess. What did you do? Well, I'm going to do what Caleb did. Give me my mountain. And you know, this is a little bit of an aside, but Caleb could have been greatly offended not only at the people that kept him from going in for 40 years, he could have been offended at Moses for appointing Joshua to be the leader over him. Yeah? Now I'm talking to somebody. Don't let Moses' appointments in your life keep you from possessing your mountain. Whoever your Moses is cannot stop you from possessing your land. Amen? He didn't get offended at Moses. He didn't start a squabble with Joshua. He just went and possessed his mountain. Amen? God's got a mountain for you. Say, God's got a mountain for me. And He's got land to possess. So here are some key principles that I want to share with you all. Share a few this morning and then several more tonight. Number one is being faithful with what you know God has appointed to you. Being faithful with what you know God has appointed to you. Let me tell you, say one more time. Just being faithful with what you know God has appointed to you. Joshua knew that he was assigned to Moses, and he was faithful to Moses. Yes? He was faithful. Now, what would have happened had he not been faithful? Would he have received this assignment? No, he wouldn't have gone in and fulfilled. Someone else would have. Joshua wouldn't. But Joshua was faithful with what he knew God assigned to him. And see, you never know where God will lead you, but I can tell you this: it's from one degree of faith and glory to another, and it's by being faithful in the place that you are that brings you in to a subsequent promised land that God has for you. And too many times, we try to take it into our own hands. We try to do it too quickly. We try to, you know, God gives you a dream and a vision, and you think it's tomorrow that you're gonna walk in all of it. But you gotta prove yourself faithful with what you have. What is it you already have in your hand? How are you doing being faithful with your present family situation? How are you being faithful in loving and caring for your spouse, your children, being a good representative of the Lord on the job, okay? Being faithful with your finances, being faithful to your pastor, being faithful to your church. Yes? Joshua was faithful. And as Moses was faithful in all of his house, Joshua followed that example. And God called and used Joshua because he was faithful to Moses and to his place for 40 years with difficult people. Difficult people. How many of you ever had one of those? Two of those? Three of those? Difficult people. Sandpaper people. But Joshua was faithful, and therefore God was able to use him not only to go possess land for his own family, but to help other people. Yes? Some of the things that we know God has already assigned to us as part of our inheritance of promised land: your marriage, if you're married, or if you have it on your heart that God's going to give you a mate, then, you know, but just being faithful to walk in the Word in that regard. And then what about the discipleship of your children? Listen, thank God for what Robert and Pam do in ministering to our children here at Calvary Cathedral International, but they are not your children's parents. Got news for you. nor your grandchildren's parents. All they can do is support what you do. But you have a responsibility. I'm talking to someone here. Sir, you have a responsibility to disciple your children. What are you doing with that? Look, what ground in the Bible, spiritual ground, is the hearts of men. What are you doing with those hearts? What are you doing with shaping them? Don't put all that off on someone else. And thank God for Calvary Academy, Christian Academy. But let me tell you something. They only exist to support what we do in the home. And praise God, it's a great support. I'd rather send them to a place that's supporting what I'm doing. But listen, that doesn't take the place of what my responsibility is to disciple my children. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. Then some other things we already know that's assigned to us. Our own spiritual growth. You know, some of you only open your Bibles when we come to church. Man, you need to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it for yourself. Feed yourself. Yes? Listen, guys, there are things that God has, part of your inheritance and promised land that God has for you is hidden for you, not from you, for you, and it's right within the pages of this book as you read it for yourself. Yes? Praise God. Your pastor in your local church, that's part of your inheritance is to connect with them and be a blessing to them and to take your part in the body and do what God has called you to do. That's, man, my greatest desire is to be a blessing to my pastor. Man, I mean, I want to be a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing? You want him to be able to give a report about you with joy. Amen. Praise God. I want to be a good sheep, not a goat. Everybody say, I'm a good sheep. Bah. Say, I'm not a goat. You know what a goat does, right? I love my pastor, but I love my husband, but no, man, that's goat. You need to repent of your goatness. Go back to, that's not who you really are. It's just your flesh that you're yielding to. Amen. Then just the stewardship of your personal finances, giving and getting out of debt. Then your business, your job, your career. Some of you have to steward just attaining a college degree that God put on your heart. A ministry. Maybe it's the class that you teach. Maybe it's the ministry assignment you receive from the Lord. Some of you, just possessing your land has to do with an elderly parent or some EGR person. You know what I mean by EGR? Extra grace required. You have any of those in your life? You know, just being faithful to show mercy and grace and love and not your flesh. And then just this church, the responsibility of this church is this city. God's given this Calvary Cathedral International Fort Worth, Texas. Man, what a great inheritance. But you know what? I just have this sense 50,000 people hasn't reached all this city yet. There's more people to reach. Yes? And then to this church, an entire nation God gave in Uganda with Lighthouse Television. It's awesome. Amen? But we have, each of us, some of us, it's like it's as big as the nose is on my face. It's obvious. Some of the things you already have. We want to do the new thing. I want to ask you, before we go to the new thing, how are you doing with what you know you already have? And I don't mean that any condemnation. I'm just saying, see, you can't go on to the new thing until you've decided I'm going to be faithful with this thing, with what God's already given me. What do you have in your hand already? Your house, your car. You could wash it. You could mow your yard, grass in your yard. You could clean it up. No, I'm asking you, what are you doing with what you have? See, we don't go to the new thing until we're faithful in possessing what God has given us. How? What are you? You want to reach multitudes for the Lord. What are you doing with your family already? You know, I mean, I'm not. Listen, I know when you're married, you know, you go on and you cut the apron string, but you still have responsibility with your parents to love them, to care for them. What are you doing with what you have? I don't want to just move on so quickly. I want to know, what are you doing with what you have? And more importantly, what are you doing about just asking the Lord, all right, what is it that you've already given me, Lord, that I haven't possessed? I haven't really lived in it. I haven't walked in it. I haven't manifested you in it. Are you listening to me? I'm stopping here right now. Because we have things that God's given us that we've disregarded. We just got through the Christmas season, right? I mean, my grandchildren opened up these presents. And it's like, you know, they have their favorite ones, right? Okay? But I'm talking about every present that God gives you, every gift God gives you, He also gives grace for you to steward that. And a lot of us are like our children who open up presents and then we discard or devalue 4 or 5 of them or 10 of them, and we just kind of hold one and we're faithful with one. Listen, guys, God's given you a whole lot of gifts. What are you doing with those gifts? Yes? Now, I've departed my notes so I could follow the Holy Ghost here. God wants you to, He wants to give you the new thing, but He's not going to give you the new thing and violate the principle of His Word of you being faithful with the thing He's already given you. What are you doing with that? You just pray, you ask God, but what are you doing with that? Young people, listen to me. What are you doing with the parents that God gave you? What are you doing with the brother or sister that God gave you? What about the teachers that God gave you? How are we being faithful with what we already have? Amen? See, oh, we all want to go to the next thing. But a lot of times what that's like is that's like you got 10 presents and you're not satisfied maybe only with one of them, and you're just going to the next one, and then these just get not used, abused. Yeah? Praise God. I said praise God. Joshua 18, look at Joshua 18, verse 3 and 4. Joshua 18. Verse 3 and 4. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect? How long will you neglect? Everybody say, how long will you neglect? How long will you neglect to go in and possess the land which the Lord has given you? Pick out among you 3 men from each tribe and send them, and that they'll rise and go through the land, survey it, divide it, and possess it. Listen, guys, Joshua 1:3. Every place the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. It's not rocket science, church. What have your feet already walked on? What have you already experienced? Some of you have received healing, but you let it go. Some of you received blessing, a financial blessing, but you let it go. Some of you have received peace in your mind from a message of a revelation of the Word that pastor brought or someone else brought, and you walked in that peace, but you let it go. Don't neglect it. I said, don't neglect it. You've got grace not to not neglect what God has given you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't trivialize it. Don't minimize it. Don't make light of it. And don't compare it with what someone else has got. Thank God you've got a car to drive. Thank God you've got a house to live in. Thank God that anybody would live with you. Now I'm going to meddle it. The second principle that will help us possess our promised land. Look at Joshua 1, verse 2. And I'm just going to move through these other two pretty quickly here. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. The second principle is the proper disposition of the past. The proper disposition of the past. You cannot go over and fully possess your inheritance until you properly process the past in your mind and your emotions. You know, different things that happen in life, disappointments and hurts and offenses, and people do things that wound you. And, you know, look, you can't, I haven't found out a way. I haven't figured this out. And it's probably because I'm not supposed to, but I haven't found a way not to go through life and not get wounded. The only way I know how to do that is just to not love at all. And I just can't do that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put walls up that don't allow me to be vulnerable. So you know what that means? When you commit to love people unconditionally, you also empower them to wound you and hurt you. But let me tell you something. Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. And so there are things that happen, and people do things, and you know, I'm sorry you got hurt, but people do things, and what we've got to do is go to the cross, and I've shared this with you before, but apply the cross to your bitter waters and your wounded heart, and let the Lord heal you. You've got, if you're going to possess your promised land, you've got to properly process and dispose of the hurts and the wounds and the things like that happen that usually are at the hands of people. Yeah? Now look, guys, have you ever been used by the enemy even unintentionally to hurt or disappoint someone? So don't be so surprised. It happens. It's part of life. Jesus said offenses must come, but I'm not going to be offended. I've got to deal with what's happened in the past in order for me to possess my promised land. Yes? You know, when I was a child, my teeth were chipped playing football with a bunch of guys with helmets, and I didn't have one. At 10 years old, just when the girls had started noticing me, or I started noticing them anyway, you know, that didn't go so well. When I moved to Houston in the sixth grade, just when my star had risen in the fifth grade. That was a big deal when I was in the sixth grade. You laugh about it now. Then I had a major league arm. At least I could have played college baseball. I could throw a strike from center field to home plate. And it also had pitching aspirations, and I had a ligament torn playing basketball when I was going up for a rebound, and a guy behind me grabbed the ball, and I was fighting for it and went back, and so there went my baseball career. And everybody say, oh. But see, I could give you a lot of more recent things, but... These kind of things can shape us to respond to a promise of God's hope and future for us with unbelief. Because of something that happened in the past, we can end up responding in unbelief. Well, yeah, that's for the other people, it's just not for me. I'm telling you, God's got promised land for you. And you've got to learn to let go the hurts and disappointments and wounds of the past. But it's not just on the negative side of things. Moses, to Joshua, was a good leader, a good father, a good mentor. What was he saying? Joshua, You cannot live in your dependence upon a man, a system, an organization, a denomination, any group of people, any past experience, even if it was good. Yes? If you're going to possess land, you've got to depend on me. I'm the one that's going to get you. Moses brought you this far, but I'm going to bring you the rest of the way. Yeah? And a lot of us are there. We too easily depend upon one another, someone else. I'm not saying in your mind to get rid of Moses like he's a bad person. That's not the point. The point is this: I can't possess what God called me to possess depending on someone else. I've got to depend on God. Thank God for my mentors. Thank God for our pastors. Thank God for all the people that have had influence in my life. Thank God for John Osteen and Bob Nichols and Kenneth Hagin and Jack Hayford and Andrew Womack and other people that have had influence in my life. But the bottom line is, I've got to step out on God's promises and depend on God myself. That's what they showed me to do. Amen? Have you ever tried to relive some good past experience in your mind? You try to go back and make it, you had some great Christmas, or you had a great job, or you had a great experience, or you had a great worship service. And so let's use the same song list. You know what that is? That's a recipe for disaster. Man, it's the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. Man, when I had a successful wholesale florist business, and God called me to go into ministry, give the business away, I left Bible school and got out of graduated Bible school. And for a time, things weren't manifesting like I thought. So I went to try to go back into the flower business. Man, I was miserable. I was like Peter after the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, I go a fishing. What did he catch at first? Until Jesus came along. What did he catch? Nothing. Listen, guys. Many Christians are so trapped in yesterday. Yesterday. They can't see, much less possess, the promised land, or their promised land or inheritance. I'm not going to read this verse, but you can look it up later. And listen, I have the airport in sight, so don't get nervous. But we're gonna circle a little bit until you get this. But Deuteronomy 34:4 says Moses cannot go into the promised land, and neither can yours. You can't take Moses with you. You can't depend upon your Moses to get you in the promised land. God Himself will get. We need Moses. We thank God for all the mentors. But listen, God's got promised land for you to possess, and you can't hold Moses' hand to go and possess it. Amen. Your dependence must transfer from a person, a system, an experience, an organization to the greater one that's in you. The same cross that put your sins behind you will put your past behind you. And that's what the same cross that put your sins behind you will put your past behind you. Now, what's keeping some of us from stepping over into the new thing is our fear of failure, our fear of some experience happening, our fear that God's not going to come through for us like He did Moses. Let me tell you something. God has promised land for you. God's got new things for you. But you got in your mind, you've got to let go, in emotions, you've got to let go of your dependence upon a bad experience or a good experience and say, God, whatever you called me to do, I'm going in. And I'm not letting what happened in the past, even good, I'm not letting... anything keep me or stop me. Yes? See, we say we want the new thing, and everybody, yay, praise God, we're going to have a new thing. But look, tell me how to get it. Tell me how to walk in it. Yes? And I'm just sharing a little bit about that. Now, finally, this morning, finally, I've got the runway way in sight. We are about to land. If you listen real carefully, we'll have a smooth landing. If you don't, it'll be rough, but I promise not to. Not too rough. The third principle, be strong and of good courage. Everybody say, be strong and of good courage. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you'll divide as an inheritance, the land. So there are three, he says this three times to Joshua. Each time there's a different emphasis in the verses that he shares, be strong and of good courage. Here the emphasis is, be strong and of good courage. You may want to write this down, because of his promise to you. Because of his promise. You can be strong and of a good courage. Now, remind me of your name here, sir, with the glasses, kind of, yes, what's your name? David. Listen, God's speaking to you, David, okay? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong because God promised you, David, to possess land. Listen, the problem is not all the problem that you think it is. The problem is you've allowed the problem to cause you to cause your confidence to be diminished. And God wants you to be confident in the fact that He's the one that promised you, David. See, I can be strong and of a good courage because He promised it. I didn't promise it. And you know what? You can read in Hebrews 6, not only did God promised to keep His promise. I said, not only did God promise, He promised to keep His promise. Yeah? If we just won't let go of it. The problem is we start getting like Peter, we step out on the water and we get our eyes on the waves and the wind. Man, if there was zero wind on a swimming pool with no waves, you try walking on water. What do the wind and the waves have anything to do with it? No, he got his eyes off of the one that gave the promise. He said, come. Yeah? Listen, guys, that's the problem. We're not strong and of good courage because we're not having confidence in, hey, he promised it. If he promised it, I can do it. If he promised it, what he promised, I can do. Where he promised, I can go. What he told me to do, there's going to be enough money. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Now, it's real important. You can look this up in the Hebrew yourself. But when it says be strong, it means to seize and lay hold of. Of good courage means to fortify, establish, keep a hold on. Don't go soft. Don't go soft. David, don't go soft. Don't go soft. Be strong. That means to lay hold on the promise, but then don't go soft. Kevin and Amy, don't go soft. Hold on and keep holding on and don't let go, and by putting your confidence and trust in the one who promised it, and he'll bring it to pass. The things he's put in your heart, Kevin and Amy, the things he's put in your heart, he'll bring to pass. You know, what happens is you get a promise and then we try to carry it out. Like Moses, remember? Like me. I've done, like all of us, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Your only responsibility, you hold on and don't let go. And God will bring it to pass. Okay, so be strong and of good courage because he promised and he promised to keep his promise. And all I got, my only response to that is I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm not going to let go of it. I'm not going soft. Amen? Then number two is in verse 7 and 8. You be strong and of a good courage by living in God's principles and patterns. Verse 7 and 8. Obey and be strong, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which is written. And in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You'll meditate it on it day and night, that you may observe to do. So what is he saying there? You be strong and courageous by living, in other words, by doing what he told you to do by the patterns and principles of the word, not you doing it your way. You follow him. You do the right thing, what Pastor Bob has taught us. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because it's the easy thing to do. You do the right thing because we're here to represent Jesus. How many of you know someone in ministry that did the thing that God told him to do, but it didn't do it the right way? Bobby Crowe had a minister. If I name the minister, a lot of you would know him. Had him in his church, and they had a great revival, great move of God. But Bobby got with him afterwards at his house across the street from his church, and he said, "Don't you ever," because he was short and harsh and rude to his ushers in his church because they weren't quick enough, you know, and all this, and according to him. And Bobby said, "Listen, my men can take correction, but don't you ever talk to them like that again." Jerry Garcia is the one who told me this. Jerry was taking the evangelist back to the airport, and Jerry said, "Man, this guy met his match." And he said, "Well, your boss sure is he sure is controlling." No, he said, "No, he's a good pastor, and he cares for the people." Yeah. And see, I know that. I know that just behind the scenes things about Pastor Bob and Joy. They care about the people. They don't make decisions based on what's... They do what God told them to do the right way. See, many times we don't possess the promised land because we're strong and of good courage. We trust in God, but we're not doing it God's way. You got to get in the Word and do it God's way. Yes? And then finally, you know, the Word is what brings us success, right? Again, how are you going to know that if you don't read it? Read it. How many of you have a Bible? Read it. Wipe the dust off of it. Read it. Then finally, we have landed. We have landed. Number 3 is be strong and of good courage because of his presence. Look at verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you." Say, "God is with me." God plus me outnumbers all my fears, all my foes. That would be all of them. I said that would be all of them. What are you? Get out of your fraidy hole and get up, stand up, and stand in the promise that God gave you, and go possess your land. There's only one thing needful on your journey is Him. Now, here's what I want to speak to as we're about to disembark. Some of us have been walking around the wilderness for years and years and years, with a promise that God gave you, maybe as a teenager. Maybe as, you know, maybe it could have been 15, 20 years ago. And because of all the things that have happened in the past, because things didn't work out, you know, you tried, you know, you have a business in your heart or a ministry in your heart or something happened. Some of you have given up on a child who's gone the way of the prodigal and they haven't come home. And you've prayed and you 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 prayed. Listen, guys, don't give up on that prodigal. God will yet bring them home. Amen? You've got to go for that promised land is yours. You declare that, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, and me and my house will be saved. And you got to go for it. Some of you launched out in a ministry and you bumped your head. Join the crowd. Some of you tried to start a business and it failed. Some of you tried to speak, or some of you tried to go to college and it didn't work out, and you got bad grades, or somebody didn't like you or something. We've all got a bad story, don't we? We've all got something we could say. But listen, guys, it's time to get up in the promise and stand in the promise and decide, my life is made for more than just this, than wilderness living. I'm not dying in this wilderness. I'm going in. I'm going to possess the land. Amen? I'm going to possess the land that God gave me. I'm going to do it His way. It was His promise. I'm going to do it His way, and I'm going to do it by His presence. And I will not be deterred by age, by experience, by anything else. I'm going in, and I'm going to possess my land. 2014 is a year of possessing your promise. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I want to pray for some people real quickly. You're here today and you identify with what I just got finished talking about. You've tried. Maybe you believe God for a husband, or you believe God for a wife, or something about your faith. It doesn't matter. You've tried. Well, listen, guys, I thank God every attempt, it took, 10,000 attempts for Thomas Edison to invent the light bulb. And you know what he said? After about 5,000 times, they said, "Are you ready to give up?" "No." He said, "I just found 5,000 ways it didn't work." Aren't you glad he didn't stop at 5,000? Okay, so we've all bumped our head. So we've all stumped our toe. So we've all had some failure. Is anybody in here never failed? If you lift your hand, I'm going to have an altar call for liars. What we need to do is fail forward. Yes, we need to go for it. This is our year. This is our time. Amen. Praise God. Sir, back there, that's sitting down by the stairs, what is your name? What's your name? Anyway, you've got a name. Praise God. I want to tell you, sir. What's his name? All right. I just want to tell you, sir, Jesus Christ has come to heal you and set you free. Because it's not just for healing that He's doing it, but it's for a purpose that He has in your life. There are yet, sir, people for you to reach. People that God's called you to touch. And God's healing power. Would some of you around Him just lay hands on Him right now and pray for Him? Father, we just bless our brother. We speak healing. Father, we speak resurrection life to him. And we declare, Father, this man of God has a purpose. And Father, you've called him, and you've called him with a purpose. And Father, I thank you. He identifies it, discovers it. But Lord, we want him to know, Father, and all of his family to know that, Lord, you love him and you've got resurrection power and life and healing for him. In Jesus' name, I release healing to you, sir. Resurrection life to you, sir. Begin to do what you couldn't do in your body, because resurrection life is flooding you right now. In Jesus' name. Healing's come to you, sir. The healer has come to you to make you whole. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, if you have, let's just lift our hands and praise God for that. Man, there's healing in the house. Some of you prayed and prayed and prayed and been prayed for and been prayed for, but I'm telling you, the healer is here to heal you today. Don't give up on your healing just because you've been prayed for and prayed for and prayed for. There's just hope deferred makes the heart sick, doesn't it? God's healing you of that sick heart today. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried, but I'm telling you now, the healer has come. Now, the one that gave the promise, the one that promised to keep his promise, is come to you. There's someone watching online today. You've so discouraged. You're just ready to give up on life even. And God's got restoration for you. God's got promise yet for you. God's bringing you out of the wilderness and bringing you in to your promised land. Now I want to pray for you. If that's you, if you face this discouragement thing, disappointment thing, and you've seen yourself through the lenses of failure, but you're saying, Pastor Greg, today I'm going to stand in the promise and I'm going to leave the wilderness and I'm going in to possess all my promised land in 2014. If that's you, then I just want you to stand up. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you. Everyone you've got that's gone through failure, you've gone through that disappointment. And it doesn't mean you're a failure. It means that you're standing in the promise. Praise God. Anyone else? Praise God. All right, there's a lot of things God's promised you, but I want you to, especially right now, to lock in on that thing that you know in your knower that He promised you and you just haven't seen it come to pass yet. Do you have that locked in? You know He promised it. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for what You promised. And You promised to keep Your promise. And I receive strength and courage to process the past, to move it behind me, and look to You, Your presence in me, and Your strength in me to possess what You promised me. In Jesus' name, I'm a possessor of my promised land. Promised land, here I come. Wilderness, I'm leaving you. Promised land, I'm walking on you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, everyone that prayed that prayer, I agree with them for grace, great strength, Father, anointing, Father, strategy, kingdom strategy to walk it out, to do it the right way, Father. In Jesus' name, I agree. Every one of us are going to possess the promised land You have for us. Amen? 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 Is that all right this morning? Praise God. Now listen, guys. I wouldn't normally say this, okay? Because I'm not saying things to try to manipulate you to do something. But, you know, I know there's a certain football team in town that plays football. And they happen to be playing tonight. But here's what I want to encourage. That football team will not cause you to inherit your promised land. And I've got some things in my heart strong to share with you. I'm not done yet. Some things, specific things that will help you totally get in and walk on your land and possess it. And I want to encourage you to be here tonight. Amen? And then I want to encourage you to be here on Tuesday night.